Accession number 14978, Charles Turnbull, Reel 1.
Mr. Turnbull, Reel 1. When and where were you born, Mr. Turnbull?
I was born at 3 Appleton Terrace, Hattonley Hall.
What did your father do for a living?
My father was a miner.
We didn't get your date of birth.
I was born January the 31st, 1917.
And you said your father was a miner. Which colliery was that?
He worked initially at the Hetton Lions Colliery. After that, he was transferred to Appleton Colliery.
What was his particular job in the colliery?
He worked as a stone man.
Was it a well-paid job?
Very, very poor. I can always remember that really, in those days, the thing that they dreaded most was when the buzzers went. And I can always remember that when they drew a bad cable, that the minimum wage at that time was 36 shillings a week, which a miner had to bring his family up on. If he got a good cable, he could probably earn in the region of 50 shillings to 55 shillings. That had to be a very good cable. But more infrequently, it was bad working conditions. I can always remember my father saying about working in bad conditions, which was in very low faces and working in water, in what they called in those days with a pair of pit hoggers on. And really, I can always remember how I thought how hard my father had to work. In my opinion, the conditions were absolutely atrocious that a miner had to work in.
What was a cable?
Well, a cable was really near the work face in what they called a bar cable was very low conditions, where they were working on what they called in them days, really it was on the knees, but they called the runkers, or flat, or really flat, using a pick on the side to get at the coal. And initially also he worked, I can remember, as I think in his young days, a putter, when they had to bring the coal back to the pit shaft at the bottom of the mine.
You mentioned the word hogger. What's a hogger?
Pair of shorts.
So it was pretty hard work. Did your father's health suffer because of this?
Yes, his health did suffer. As time went on, I can always remember that he suffered very badly with pains and chest problems. But there again, he did continue working right up to the age of, not quite sure at the moment, but I would say up to the age of 60 years.
How many children were in your family?
Well, I was the eldest child, and then my brother Harry was 18 months younger than what I was, and then another brother wasn't born until quite a few years after, when we moved from Appleton Terrace into Edward Street. in Hepney Hall as well. The reason for the move was that the house in Eppleton Terrace was a rented house which had been newly built. Quite a nice small house. I can always remember that really, and even to this day, the brickwork of that house is as good as the day that it was built. The owner of the house was a newsagent called Billy Brown in Market Street. This character was very well known for his attitude towards money, that when he used to go around collecting his paper money, he would always come knocking at the door in a very old coat, and his words were, "Bye, these times are very hard times." There were always hard times. Anyhow, when my father had the chance of a colliery house, was the reason moving into Edward Street, which was quite good property, brick built, not stone built, and it was larger than Eppleton Terrace, which was the reason for the move, as the family was increasing, and Alan, the youngest brother, was born in Edward Street.
How big was your house? How were the rooms organised within the house?
The first house in Eppleton Terrace only consisted of what they called not a back kitchen, more a scullery. And then you had the living room and one bedroom. That really, as we were born in Eppleton Terrace, we used to have a bed in the living room at night time. And my father and mother, of course, used the bedroom. When we moved into Edward Street, this had a larger, well, in them days, a scullery, what is now called your back kitchen, and an upstairs with two bedrooms, which was better used to the size of the family.
Did your mother work?
My mother was, at that time, the housewife. And I considered that a lady in those days did a very good job in the bringing up of a family. Whatever your parents said, the family always did what they were told. And that was the way that we were brought up. That your father and mother, they were the people who controlled the household and had to be taken notice of. But my mother was a very progressive person, and she always had ambition, and an opportunity did arise whereby they could go into a small business in Richard Street in Hepney Hall. And how they were able to do this was an uncle called George Barris, that lived in Station Road in Hepney Hall, asked her if she would possibly go into partnership with this business in Richard Street. It was a fruiter and confectionery, which was a very good spot, because at the top of Richard Street there was the Pavilion Cinema, which really, on a Saturday night then, when the family could afford it, they used to go to the cinema, so that really the business was quite thriving. And Harry and I, as boys, used to go down after school and help to fill bags of potatoes by the hearthstone, stone bags, and any jobs like that that we could do to help the business to progress. She did have her sister, Eva, who was younger, to help her. But what she found eventually was that the uncle, who was also working, would not devote sufficient time to the business, and we found out that in the end the partnership wasn't progressing quite satisfactorily, so they decided to sell out, and the business was taken over by a family called Westwick, who at that time lived in Station Road in Hetley Hall. And that then was the beginning for them of a great business, which went from small beginnings into quite large. They eventually became wholesale fruiters and were involved in all sorts of things. So that really, as I became older, I was quite disappointed to think that my mother's progress in that capacity had been blighted by a partnership not working out.
The community that you lived in, can you describe it?
Yes, the community on the whole was, I would say, practically 90% a mining community. And the same conditions of work with the Joycey Collieries was the same for everyone. That in the area you had the Head and Lions Colliery, Appleton Colliery, Elmer Colliery, the Hazard Colliery. The railway was operating through Hetley Hall for the transmission of coal. And my young days seemed to be that really the conditions for the male worker, as I have grown older, not what they should have been. That the owners of the collieries did not give the right working conditions to the mining community. That really it was a case of a miner work and bed and back to work. That really the only thing that he had to look forward to was probably a Saturday night when he could either take his family to the cinema if he could afford it, or if he liked to have a drink, going out to the local public house. In my father's case, he did like to have a drink, but it was a case of on a Saturday night, probably out for a half an hour, round to the local pub, and then back to have his evening supper and spend the rest of the evening with his family. My mother was very interested in the religious aspect of the local community and was a very active worker at the local Wesleyan chapel. She was well thought about and a lady who was always asked to speak at any functions that were on, and without any hesitation we always had to attend the local Sunday school as well. It was most a case of being compelled to. Whether you liked it or not, you had to go. But I can always remember going to evening concerts and that sort of thing on a Saturday night. And whenever my mother was asked to get up and speak without any notes or anything at all, she could stand up and deliver an address without any failings at all. Also, she was interested in the Women's Institute, and she used to attend that at Easington Lane, and there again she was a great figure there. And one of the highlights was when she was elected to be a delegate and go to London. And she stayed then at one of the smart hotels, and when she came back she took a great pride in saying what had transpired at this national meeting down in London.
So it was a closely knit community. Now, was there a great deal of self-help, helping each other with troubles?
In those days, that was the great thing about the local community, that really anyone in need of help hadn't to ask. next door neighbours, in those days, doors were never closed. You could walk in and out of anybody's house without any fear of anything happening or anybody taking anything from the place. And as soon as one heard about anyone being in trouble, if an accident had happened at the mine when the buses used to go and everybody knew that something had happened, people in the street were there without any request for help, to help out in any way.
Were there any mining accidents of great proportion in your memory whilst you were there?
There was many accidents. I would say that without any compulsion, that probably at least once in the month something would happen somewhere. And in those days, it wasn't a case often of an ambulance going there. Whatever had happened, they would be carried down the road, especially at Epperton Colliery. I can remember them carrying stretchers down the bank when they were transported down to the local doctor to attend to, if it wasn't a very, very serious accident. I would like to also say that really the railway going through Hetmy Hall, on my mother's side, my grandfather was an engine driver, and he transported the coal from Elmer Colliery right down through Hetton Lions, right through the main street of Hetmy Hall, right away through to Copt Hill, where the coal was then transported from there down to Sunderland to be shipped from the docks. And also the line used to extend across to the Hazard Colliery, and he was a great figure, and everyone in the area knew Charlie Stevenson, that really when he was coming down from Elmer Colliery and he used to blow the engine whistle, everybody knew that he was coming down. And when he used to pass Broomhill Estate at the far end of Hetmy Hall, where old people used to live, I can always remember that he had roundy coal on the footplate. And when he was passing their houses, he used to kick the roundy coal off so that the old ladies could come out and pick up a piece of coal. That really he was noted for his good nature. I can always remember the only adverse thing was that he was quite a heavy drinker, and on a weekend he loved to get out at the end of the week and have quite a few pints of beer. But everybody knew he was always so well turned out. He was quite a tall man and always quite well dressed, and his family had to do exactly what he said, because an engine driver then, he worked in overalls, which at the end of the week were quite filthy, and the daughters in the house had to put these overalls on the stone yard, and what they used to say then was sosh them in hot water with fairy soap, hard soap, and scrub them till they were absolutely clean. And when he put them on at the beginning of the next week, they had to be absolutely clean, that he wouldn't walk out in dirty overalls at the beginning of his week's work.
Was your father ever injured at work?
Apart from small injuries, nothing major.
So it was quite a tough community that you lived in.
It was.
The man was the figurehead of the whole.
Yes, the man was the figurehead, apart from what I've said about my wife, who was my mother, who was well organised as far as the finance was concerned, that the money that came into the house, she always shopped at the cooperative stores. The idea behind that was that if you supported the co-op, which in them days was the profits that were made were supposed to be returned to the community in the way of dividend. So she was an ardent shopper at the co-op and would not pass the stores for anything wherever possible. But at the same time, through my mother's encouragement, my father, when they lived in Appleton Terrace, kept pigs in the field opposite. And of course, with keeping pigs, when they were killed, the cuts from the pig were sold locally amongst friends and neighbours. And I can remember he was friendly with a chap called Paisley, who was a butcher at Hetton Down Store. And when the pigs were killed, he used to come along and prepare from the offal things like black pudding and sausage and that sort of thing. And we as boys, when my mother received the order from the offal from the pig and whatever cut they ordered, we, Harry and I, had to take it along to the customers and receive payment for whatever the charge was. So one can see that the parents in them days, although they had a, in my opinion, quite a hard life, they did whatever they could to ensure that the family had quite a fair bringing up. And one of the objects that they used to do, they used to say when we went to school, whatever you do, you must pay attention to what the teacher and the headmaster say, and wherever possible, improve your education as much as possible.
Discipline in the home, in your own home, was that strong?
I would say not too strong, but we knew that we had to comply with what our parents' instructions were. We knew that if we did anything wrong, we were in trouble. And if anything happened at the school, all that you got when you came back was, you must have done something wrong, otherwise you wouldn't have been given this punishment by the teacher. Or if you had to go towards the headmaster for a caning, well, you must have done something to justify that.
Coming to your schooling, where did you start school?
I started school at the Hetton Infant School. After that, I went to the Barrington School in Hetton Hall for a short while. And then it must have been through overcrowding that we had to be transferred to a larger school. My brother Harry, although we lived in Edward Street, Hetton Hall, he was sent to the Appleton School. And I don't know why, but I was transferred to the Hetton Lions School. And I would say that while I was at the Hetton Lions School, I can always remember that in my school days, I had a very happy time there. I liked going to school, and my mother's words were, as I've already said, pay attention to what the teachers at the school are trying to learn you, and pay attention at all times. And I must say that really I was always interested in sport, and my heroes were the teacher who took the football team, and his name was Gelson, and the headmaster's name was Heslop. And the headmaster was quite a dominant figure, and whatever he said was law in the school. But this Joe Gelson, Joe was his Christian name, he took a great interest in me, And he must have thought that I was quite the right person as far as the sports side of the school was concerned, because I can always remember that just after about 11, between 11 and 12, he made me captain of the school football team and also captain of the cricket side. And I must have been fairly good, because I found that I represented the school in the Lambton and Hetton league side, which at that time also, who was a little younger than what I was, Bobby Paisley, who later became the, played for the Liverpool Football Club, and also later became the general manager of the Liverpool Football Club. And it was rather funny, but Bobby Paisley's father and my father were mirrors at the pit. And of course, when the Hetton Lions team played the Appleton team, which Bobby Paisley played for, the rivalry between the two fathers on the Saturday morning's game was really terrific. And in those days, the local community used to follow the school teams around quite heavily wherever they went, that the crowds that watched the games were quite huge. So there was great interest by the parents and what the children did at the school.
The mining communities did have a strong sporting tradition.
Always. Even in the local chapels at that time. The Methodist chapel in Hetton, they ran both cricket teams and football teams. And a great thing was for the local lads to get on the chapel football team. And I can always remember that the Hetton Methodists, they won the national competition, which at that time was greatly feted over in Hetley Hall. And even to this day now, although I'm the age that what I am now, there's still boys that played in that football team that still go to the local chapel in Hetley Hall. So really, the groundings, in my opinion, have never left those people, what happened in those days.
When you were at school, the academic side of the school, did you have examinations to take?
Yes, we had examinations, and I always did quite well in the examination. In fact, the headmaster, when the parents did come to the school, Mr. Heslop, he always spoke well about me. And really, when the time came for the examinations for the grammar school, the headmaster couldn't understand it, and my mother was quite disappointed because I didn't pass for the grammar school. One of those things, I don't know why, but anyhow, I didn't make the grade and I didn't get to the local grammar school, which was rather funny because my wife, who lived in Easington Lane at that time, and went to the same school, she did equally as well at school, but there again, she failed the grammar school examination. And I've since learned that really, the knowledge that she has now, and what she's been able to accomplish, that really, it's beyond understanding really how some people you get through, and some couldn't. But nevertheless, even after leaving school, my mother used to say, well, whatever you do, don't be disappointed about that, but continue with your education as far as possible. And I used to go to night school to further my education and try and recover the ground that had been lost.
And where was this?
Well, what I did first of all was, after leaving school at 14, I started work the day after I left school, and I was fortunate to get a job as a token boy. The reason that I managed to get this was that really I had an uncle who worked in the Czech Way cabin, and he spoke about me to the general manager of the Lions Colliery, which, rather funny, had been our neighbour when we lived in Eppleton Terrace. They lived in number 2. Anyhow, it was quite a good thing to get a job above ground, and I started work then. So through the prompting of my mother, I commenced to go to night school in Sunderland. But to continue the story, I found out that through working at the colliery, there again the discipline was so strong. There was 2 boys in the token cabin, and I went to see the general manager and said, would it be possible that I'm attending night school in Sunderland, and when I'm in the wrong shift, would it be possible to change shift with the other boy? And the response that I got was, if you want to do things like that, what you'll have to do on the days that you want to change, you'll have to go down onto the screens and scrat. This was separating stone from the coal. My idea was, well, if this is the attitude at the colliery, it's time I was trying to do something about this. Anyhow, a job did fall vacant at the local co-op.